policy outline do I have what I need to serve? A number of years ago, I was in my office, and my memory stinks, so I can't tell you if I was listening to it on the computer or on the radio, I don't remember which, but I was listening to a message by Dr. Charles Stanley, and he was sharing a message on service, and I didn't get very long into the message when I realized this is great, this is something I need, and so I started taking notes feverishly and was just encouraged and challenged by the message. And then a few months ago, when I began to pack up things to move them from Deckerville to Three Rivers, I came across a lot of stuff I didn't know I still had. My wife was very, very proud of me, as I think I shared. I got rid of one garbage bag full of stuff. I brought about 12 garbage bags full of stuff with me. But as I was unpacking everything in my office and settling things, and I took my time, when we went from Heritage to Deckerville, I just sort of threw everything up on the bookshelves, and there was no order. It was just, when I wanted to find a book, it took me a half hour every time. So I took my time settling my office here, and as I was coming across, I came across the notes from that message. And as I read through and was challenged again, I said, that's what we need. And so I'm going to share with you from some of those feverish notes I took from Dr. Charles Stanley and from life experiences, what God has shown me. It's sort of merged together to come up with this message this morning. You know, do I have what I need to serve? Because people make a lot of excuses. Well, Pastor, I just don't have time. I have so much going on in my life and my schedule's so full, I just don't have time. And, you know, I understand that. Sometimes we have other priorities. But the two basic reasons, and Dr. Charles shared this in his message. He said, the two basic reasons that I see at the root of why people don't serve are these. First is pride. They simply don't want to humble themselves to serve others. You know, they're selfish. And the other is a fear of failure. You know, that feeling that I just, whatever I have to give, nobody wants. Or I can't give anything that's going to benefit them or help them in any way. And so they're afraid. But when we start to think about service, ultimately those who persistently refuse to be involved in serving others, there's a couple things that are a reality for them. First, they don't understand who God is. Now, if you're not involved in service, you don't understand who God is, because if a person truly has an understanding of God as a loving, generous Father, as the one who gave His only begotten Son, so that we can be redeemed from the pit of sin, from the pit of hell, and we can be ransomed and set free. You know, in the moment I come to Christ, I have that built-in desire to serve because the Spirit resides within me. You know, how can a person know the extent of God's love and not want to share it with others? God requires us to serve. God wants us to serve, and He wants us to give in our service. And from our own experience of salvation, knowing that God is a God of love, again, that the Holy Spirit resides within us, we have a built-in capacity to love. We have a built-in capacity to serve. So the person that doesn't serve doesn't understand who God is, but they also don't understand why they are here. You know, there have been many Christians who have asked the question. In fact, last week, I had this question asked to me. Pastor, why am I still here? I don't understand why God's keeping me here. And I understand when we get in those valleys, when we get in the pits of despair, that's a natural thing that comes to our mind. God, why are you keeping me here? Just take me home. And we've talked about in some of our messages, godly men who got to that point said, God, just take me home. I'm done. But you know, when it comes down to reality, for the child of God, we should never really have to ask that question. Because if I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, I am alive and I am here on this earth to worship Him. I'm here to worship Him. And I am here to reflect God's glory I am here to be an example of love and service to my fellow man. Loving God and loving others just as we love our own life, that's a command that God gave us. It's our purpose, it's our job, it's our role, it's our position, it's our meaning in life. And so a person that doesn't serve doesn't understand who God is, they don't understand why they're here on this earth, and third, they don't understand God's purpose for this world. Because if they did, they'd be serving. You know, God's purpose for this world is that everyone might come to know Jesus Christ. Jesus came to do what? Seek and to save that which was lost. And we are part of, if I'm a child of God, I am part of the larger body of Christ, and I am part of that ongoing, persistent, consistent outreach to see people come to Christ. I am here to serve in the love of God so that people will see that love and come to Christ. Jesus prayed, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Our purpose is to see God's kingdom established here on this earth. So if a person truly understands who God is, if a person truly understands why they are here on this earth, if a person truly understands what God's purposes are for all of mankind, how could we ever say, "I'd rather do my own thing than serve you by serving others"? We're called to service. In that message, Charles Stanley shared this. He says, "I have much more compassion for those who don't believe they have any talents to give to God than I have for those who know they are talented and who refuse to use their talents for God's glory. My word to those of you who believe that you don't have anything to offer in the way of service is this: you do. God does not call any person to do anything within his kingdom unless he also equips that person spiritually, materially, physically, mentally, financially, and in all other ways. For whatever type of service God may be opening up to you, God not only has prepared you and equipped you to succeed in doing it, but he will continue to assist you and increase your talents as you engage in the work set before you." And when we think about this question, do I have what I need to serve? We're going to look at three things this morning. Number one, we see that we are created for service. Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to have you go to a couple different passages this morning. But Ephesians chapter 2. Service is part of God's reasoning for creating you. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, the Apostle Paul writes this: "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." You understand what that verse tells us? Look at it again. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." Even before you were born, God had in mind who you would be and what he would desire for you to do in this specific place, in this specific time. God prepared you beforehand for where you are at right now. Everything in our life has led us to this point. Everything in our life has equipped us for this time. You know, all that we have gone through in our life has prepared us. If I knew, I'm getting ahead of myself. I do that. When God called Christy and I here to Three Rivers Bible Church, I brought part of Kentwood Baptist Church with me. I brought part of Heritage Hills Bible Church with me. I brought part of Deckerville Bible Church with me. I brought with me the heartache that a lot of families face with losing parents to cancer, and losing a brother in a car accident, and losing a sister-in-law to a drunk driver, and the highs and lows of the adoption process and the battles of infertility and the struggles financially sometimes we've had in our lives and the relationship struggles we've had from time to time. And you know, all those things God has used to prepare me for right here, right now. Is that to say I'm going to get it right from here on out? No. He's going to use those mistakes I'm going to make today and tomorrow as well to help to mold me and to shape me and to use me. Because I guarantee you, I quickly learned when I left Three Rivers Bible Church as a youth pastor and moved on to a solo pastor ministry, I quickly learned there were things that I was not ready to handle 5 years before that I faced at that church. And that God used different things and circumstances and people in my life to develop my talents and abilities to be used in those situations. You know, we have been created for service. We have been enabled to live up to the challenge that's before us because of what God has done in our lives and how He uses us. Our service is an outgrowth of our talents and abilities that God has placed in our life. You know, we each have been given certain service-ready equipment from birth. We are born with certain talents and abilities and personalities and different makeup. And God has done that on purpose. We're unique. You know, sometimes we question God. I'm going to be honest with you, that for a number of years in ministry, in fact, I can't tell you when it stopped. For a number of years in ministry, I spent a lot of time alone with God saying, God, are you sure you got the right guy? Are you sure? Because where I am, my personal makeup, I would far rather be in the very back corner watching everybody else rather than standing up here having everybody watch me. You know, my makeup is I'm a quiet, reserved guy. I'd just soon be back in the corner. Just let me watch everybody. You know, I'm not up front. I'm not that. I want to be in front of the center of attention. That's not my personality at all. And there are a number of times I ask, God, are you sure? When I think of what a successful pastor is going to be, I'm not sure that I'm there. And then God used a lot of different examples in Scripture to say, that's why I want you there, because you know you can't do it. So you're going to have to trust me. And you're going to have to rely on me. And you know, God prepares us for service. God has been at work in your life from your first moments, molding you and preparing you to fulfill His plan and purpose for you. Because what God's purpose is for you is different than what God's purpose is for me. And who God is going to call you to minister to is probably going to be different than who He's going to call me to minister to. And you're going to interact and influence and serve others that I'll never meet. You know, and God has prepared us for where we're at. Turn over in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. God has prepared us. And God is continuing to prepare us. And we can rest in the fact that God is going to be with us as He calls us to serve. In Hebrews chapter 13, as the author of this book closes out this letter, in verses 20 and 21, he says, "Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, listen, may He equip you in every good thing to do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." God's going to enable us to serve until He calls us home. He's going to equip us until He calls us home. For God works in us and through us as we serve. And He uses our service to prepare us for how He's going to use us to serve down the road. Now, you may feel that you are at this kindergarten level of service. You know, and your talents, Pastor, I'm right here. I'm at this level right here. I don't have a whole lot to give. I don't have a lot of experience. I don't have a lot of... God's plan is for you to start right here then. And to use that talent and to use those abilities and use those resources that He has given you and to use those in serving Him. And as you're faithful in using what God has given you, He will continue to work in your life. He will continue to use you. There are a lot of people that say, well, if I serve and I serve here and I serve here and I serve here and I serve here, then I've got nothing left of me. All I'm doing is giving and giving and giving. God's plan is not to diminish you. God's plan is not to take everything away from you. God's plan is, as you use what He has given, as you use the blessings, the traits, the abilities, all the things that he has given you, as you continue to be faithful, he's going to give you more. He's going to continue to supply. He's going to continue to meet the needs that you have. And God's purpose isn't to decrease you. As we give, he's going to give the increase mentally and physically and emotionally and materially and relationally and above all spiritually, because we have been created for service. Now, number two, let's think about that we are equipped with spiritual gifts. We're equipped with spiritual gifts. Now, let me tell you right up front, I'm going to read to you as we go through this point a couple different passages in Scripture that spiritual gifts are listed. I don't have time this morning to go through and do a study on spiritual gifts. Sometime we'll do that. I'm sure you've probably had that, hopefully you've had that in this church where you've gone and looked at the spiritual gifts. And at the moment of salvation, the moment I receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell me. At that moment, I receive that spiritual gift or gifts that's given by God to be used for his glory, to be used for my brothers and sisters in Christ, to be used as I minister to the unsaved world. I'm given that spiritual gift. As we read through some of these spiritual gifts, some of them are no longer in existence today in the church. They were in the book of Acts as the church was being formed and things were happening. They didn't have the completed scripture that we have today. So they had some of those sign gifts to authenticate that they were God's messengers. You know, we have the completed word of God. We don't need that today. But I'm not going to go through and say, this one, no, I don't have time to do that this morning. But understand that as we go through. Because not only have we been equipped with natural gifts and abilities, which we all have from birth, and those are things that can be developed and those are things that can be used, but, you know, some things people just have that we don't, right? Some people can get up here, Tammy can get up here and sing. If I called some of you up here to get up and sing, you'd drop dead. You know, no. You don't even sing in the shower when nobody's around. That's just not a talent that you have. I played sports my entire life until I got old and fat. And I, you know, I love sports and I love working all the time. And God blessed me with some athletic ability. My brother, who was 3 years younger than me, he worked harder than I ever did. And he just didn't have it. You know, he wasn't blessed athletically. You know, on the other hand, my brother excelled. He played the trumpet better than almost anybody I've ever known in my life. And I played trombone and band, and I hated that instrument every time I picked it up. You know, the only reason I continued in band is because Mom and Dad said, "We bought that horn, you're going to stay in band." You know, and I hated it. My brother just excelled. It was his natural ability. God's given us natural abilities. And we can develop those and we are to use those. Beyond that, he's given us spiritual gifts and abilities. But even if I don't have a certain spiritual gift, that doesn't let me off the hook. Let me give you an example. The gift of evangelism is a spiritual gift that's given at the moment of salvation. I don't have the gift of evangelism. But I can't say to God, "All right, God, there's my unsaved neighbor. Because I don't have the gift of evangelism, somebody else better reach him." Just because I don't have the gift of evangelism doesn't let me off the hook from going and sharing the gospel message with that unsaved neighbor. I'm still to be used by God, even if I'm not specifically gifted in that way. So those things don't let us off the hook, but those spiritual gifts are given so that we can serve God more effectively in different areas. I believe one of my gifts, spiritual gifts, is the gift of pastor-teacher, which is why he's put me where he's put me, to use that gift that he has given to me for his glory, to build up the body, and to reach out and minister to an unsaved world. Because what you lack, the Holy Spirit supplies. And he continues to work in our lives. And when we are weak, he is strong. When we err and we fail in our service to others, and you will fail. You know, don't think that, "All right, I'm trusting God, everything's going to go great from here on out." You know, there are going to be times when you are seeking to serve and you have a heart for service. You think that you are helping that person the best you possibly can, and you're saying the worst thing at the wrong time. You're doing exactly the opposite of what should be done. You're doing it with a genuine heart. God can even take your failures, and God can use those failures, and God can, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Let's put this verse into this context. Romans chapter 8. As I rely on the Holy Spirit's leading, as I am trusting God and I am reaching out and serving, even those times when I mess up, then God can put Romans 8:28 into practice. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And then look at verse 31. What shall we say then to these? Say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? As we serve in the Spirit's power, as we serve in God's name, He's going to bless. And He's going to take care of our weaknesses and our failures, and He's going to work in people's lives. Again, Paul lists some spiritual gifts in Romans 12. Look at verses 6 through 8. He gives some of these gifts in this list. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching. Or he who exhorts in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. There's a list of spiritual gifts. Prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, mercy, showing mercy. All those are spiritual gifts that are given at the moment of salvation. Now, Paul is not giving a list for the purpose of giving a list. His emphasis is on the use of spiritual gifts. What the Spirit has gifted to us, whether it's a spiritual gift, whether it's those abilities and talents we have, whether it's a certain area in our lives, God has given us those things to be used in serving others, to be used for the glory of God and to honor Him. And in the process, we're going to grow. In the process, our faith is going to deepen. You know, it's the Holy Spirit who helps us. And spiritual gifts are not something I can acquire, as some teach you can acquire them as you grow deeper spiritually. That's not true. They're given at the moment of salvation. The gift God gives me, I have. I can't say, all right, God, now I'm at this level, give me this gift. Now I'm at this level, now it's time for this gift. That's not how it works. But God can specially enable us and use us, because there are many times in ministry where I'm facing situations. There are times when I'm counseling with somebody and they're sitting in my office right across from me. And I'm listening to a point, but mostly I'm talking to God. I'm saying, God, you know exactly, I'm not doing this out loud, by the way. You know exactly what's going on here. I don't have a clue. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Give me a verse. Give me something right now. Help me to have words that I don't have. And I can tell you, there have been so many times when a verse pops into my head, and I open up and say, exact, all right, here, let's look at this verse. Or there's something that pops into my head, and I say, this is clearly, God can enable us, and God can give us those things. God can bless us in ways that are far beyond us, that we don't understand. And God uses those gifts. God uses those talents and abilities. As we give them in service, then we develop those other things and we grow deeper in our faith. And God endows us to do. Listen, whatever God calls you to do and wherever God calls you to serve, He's going to give you the ability to do that. He's going to give you the gifts. He's going to give you the help. He's going to give you the words sometimes. You know, God is working in the situation as you are trusting Him, as you're relying on the Holy Spirit, as we're doing His job for His glory. He's going to take care of it. And we're going to grow in the process. Now let's think about number three, the purpose of gifts. The purpose of gifts, and I'm running out of time. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, go there please. Paul wrote this to the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." The gifts of the Holy Spirit, both those that are given as natural abilities and talents and those that are given as spiritual gifts, are those that the Holy Spirit gives us to meet specific needs in specific situations as we seek to serve. And a lot of times those things are going to be used to comfort those who are hurting with the comfort that we've received from God as He gives to us. All of our, as I shared earlier, all of our experiences in life, especially those things that have brought us pain and those things that have brought us sorrow and those things that have brought us suffering, they equip us in very special ways to minister to others who are facing something similar that we've faced. You know, there's something about when you can come alongside someone and say, let me tell you, I've been exactly where you're at, and let me tell you what God did for me. Let me tell you how God led me through that valley you're facing. Let me tell you what God showed me and how God revealed Himself to me and how God used His Word. And you can come alongside, because as you're going through that valley, a lot of times you think you're the only one that's ever been there. In reality, you know that's not true, but in the moment you feel that way. And when someone can come alongside and say, let me tell you what God did, God's going to use those difficulties in your life that He's delivered you through, and He's going to use you to serve somebody else because He's equipped you, because the Holy Spirit is leading you. All of our experiences help us to become more effective in our ministry to others, in our ministry to serving others, in our ministry to reaching out to others. The purpose of gifts is to be used to bless those around us as we serve God and glorify Him, to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to share the love of Christ with an unsaved world that needs it. Charles Stanley writes this. So too often the laymen in a church expect the pastor to do all of the ministering to those who have emotional or spiritual needs. It's far from what the Bible sets as a standard for service. And he says, read what Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians 4:7 and Ephesians 4:11 through 13. The leaders in any church setting, those called to be apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers, are placed there for one main reason: to equip the saints for the work of ministry. If you're a layman, you're a saint who is being equipped for ministry. Your purpose in life is not to listen to hundreds of sermons and attend dozens of seminars and then die and go to heaven. Your purpose is to hear the Word of God as it is preached and taught to you, and then immediately and consistently to apply that teaching and preaching and teaching in practical forms of service to the people around you. The work of ministry belongs to all of God's people. In ministering to others, you become an agent of God's comfort and care. None of us can justify our existence apart from God. And we are indebted to God for every blessing that He has given us, for everything that He has done for us, every bit of help that He's given in times of trouble, every bit of consolation and comfort that He has provided in our lives, that He's given to us in those times of pain and sorrow, every bit of encouragement that He has given to us as we have failed, and most importantly, every bit of love He has shown to us every single day of our lives. Because of what God has done for us, it should be out of a thankful heart that we say, God, I know what You've done. I know who You are. Now I'm going to use what You've given me to serve others, to show You that I love You by reaching out in that love for others. We are equipped for service. What we lack in ability, God will provide. Father, teach us to serve. We have busy lives. We have busy schedules. But we never have an excuse, because You've equipped us, You've prepared us, You've called us. And Lord, thank You that You have. Forgive us for the times when we miss the opportunities You give us. Forgive us for the times when we fail. But we know that You can work even through those times. So Lord, help us to trust You. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be good stewards of what You've blessed us with. Our talents, our abilities, our resources, our faith, our love. And help us to use those to reach out in service to those around us. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.